Good evening. Welcome to this podcast episode that is happening in the framework of the Words of Europe project. We are here from Faktor Terminál Association. Márta Sherman, who is the director of the association, is here, and I am Luca Ménesi. I am an employee of the Faktor Terminál Association, and we work together at the VE project. And our guest today is Benedikt Amonó, who moved to Hungary, to Budapest, 4 years ago, and who has been living here since then. And we will talk with him about fake news and propaganda in Hungary and in general our perspectives on news and different kinds of sources. As a start, I will mention a few details about a workshop that we at Faktor Terminál Association did with the participants of the Art for Takeaway project back in December 2023, where our subject was fake news and how difficult it is sometimes for young people to figure out what sources are reliable, the internet in itself and TikTok and all other social media platforms can be very confusing and very overwhelming with a lot of information and a lot of content every day, every minute, maybe we could say. And from this starting point, we thought it would be interesting to add the perspective of Benedikt, or Ben, who lives in Hungary and speaks somewhat of the language, and but was not born here. So first, we would be interested in hearing from you, Ben, how and where do you follow news of Hungary or about Hungary, and how difficult or easy it is to figure out what sources you should look for, what sources are interesting to you or reliable, seem reliable to you.
Okay, so thank you. It's a pleasure for you guys to invite me here. So getting to your question on what sources I use to identify which news is good and which news is not good. First of all, I would say that mostly I rely on the internet, so internet sources, and specifically I would say daily news, like news websites, because I think they have more in-depth reports as compared to social media. So I don't really rely on news from social media, just to be clear on where I really go, like when I check my phone. And mostly because there's also we've seen news and things about, you know, false information being posted on social media, so that space is a no-no for me. And also I have a perspective that mostly people just share things from their opinion, which may not be right. So basically, the idea is really to look at, you know, from an independent source, people who are really professionals and, you know, can report you know, the news from an objective point of view and not really a subjective point of view. So mostly I don't do social media. And for Hungary, in the beginning, it's quite difficult for me because being here for 4 years, I've been trying to figure out where I could read news, because it's also something that I really love, enjoying to do. And basically, I mean, the first place I noticed was daily news, because once your location is set to Hungary in Google, you always get these notifications. So that was the first interaction I had with with where to get the news. And I would say it's a nice place, very objective. They talk about issues about Hungary,
mm-hmm.
but also deeply, they don't really talk much in depth about what is happening. So most of the issues in that space is just the big EU topics,
mm-hmm.
and not
mm-hmm.
really content about Hungary, like what is really happening in the
okay.
country. And also the second one, which I got to know through
mm-hmm.
a Hungarian friend, was actually 24.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
.hu,
yeah.
Which is more Hungarian.
Yeah.
And talks about issues more so.
And they have an English platform.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they have, because anytime, once you open, it just comes as Hungarian. But, you know, we are grateful for technology, so
yeah.
some way somehow you are able to translate
yeah.
the page to English.
By itself, translated by themselves, just
yeah.
the system.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So then too, it goes a little bit in depth. At least you get to know maybe if in daily news. Sometimes I do this 1-2 steps. Yeah, where. Okay, in the daily Hungary, they just speak about the whole subject, but not in detail. Then I go to 24HU
okay.
to get much more detail
about the context,
the specific topic,
okay.
and then see what is going on, and also like also try to see just normal a Google search and just try to see what other people are saying,
yeah.
you know, on the internet. I know. You know, like you would say something about fake news, and sometimes it's really, really difficult to really differentiate.
Yeah.
You know, what whether this is true or not. In my case, I always ask my
mm-hmm.
Hungarian friends.
Yeah.
So, especially in the office, if something is not really that clear, I try to ask my friends to really verify if this information is correct or
yeah.
not correct. So. This has been the journey so
yeah.
far.
Yeah, in terms
of news, yeah.
Yeah, but I actually, now that you say this, like, to decide whether something is real or fake, I think it can be difficult for us also even
yeah.
if we speak the language. I mean, this goes to everyone
yeah.
in any language, I think. Like, just because in Hungary, like, it's very complicated, the whole situation with,
of
like,
the media.
Exactly, yeah, like which platform is, you know, speaking for whom, or who are they speaking
mm-hmm.
to, and what are they using as their sources.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times I think we also have discussions like, okay, but is this now because of that, are they writing this because of this, or is this real, is this based on facts? So
yeah.
it's in any language, I think it's actually a challenge
yeah.
because there is so many so much content in our face.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, 24 dot .hu, I also follow that, by the way.
Yeah.
So I think I would suggest it if it was a question.
Yeah.
And okay, so that's a bit of a different term.
But sorry, can I ask if
yeah,
you,
of course.
If you have you ever tasted another platform as well, which is actually it's how could I say that's a little bit from the other side, so
mm-hmm.
where the government speaks out, for example.
I mean, one time I noticed something like. There's also one platform I know, but I usually don't go there because it's very much Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
It's called 444,
mm-hmm.
which is also another site, but sometimes I don't really, you know, understand the context of what
mm-hmm.
they report. So maybe the other thing that you could also talk about is YouTube, because I also see that there is these, once you watch videos, there's these
yeah.
pop-ups of, you know, government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I...
Yeah.
Yeah, government news or government, you know, like something which you know, sometimes I just check it out to see
what
to say. But also the disadvantage for it is that if you don't really understand the language properly, you don't really understand what they are trying to communicate. So that is also like a bit of challenge for them. So as a foreigner, I could say there are really not much options to really talk about. Once you know one or two which are kind of reliable, you just use that to always check the news. And I say this, I began saying that I rely much on the internet because, we don't really watch TV. Mm-hmm. I'm in the apartment.
Yeah.
If you understand our situation as a foreigner being here, if you go to an apartment, I mean, unless there's a TV that has, you know, is connected to the local channel or something. Yeah. If there is none, in all the apartments I've lived in, there is no TV. I've never had the opportunity to say that, okay, I can switch on the TV and I can listen to the news from the TV.
Yeah.
And also, I don't even know how that looks like. Maybe once I went to my Lutza, my girlfriend's parents' place, her granny's place, and they were watching, but it was basically in Hungarian, and I really didn't understand anything what they were saying.
Yeah,
so these are some of the challenges. We don't really have a lot of options, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think like TV, I basically never watch TV, we could say. I don't have a TV at home. And it's also not something I would I'm really missing from my life, not at all. But also because of how the media works in Hungary, or how these different sources work, what is in the hands of the government and what are independent sources. Because of that, there is these new platforms who appear on YouTube.
Yeah.
For example, Partizan is one that, to me, like the kinds of shows that they do on YouTube, if those were on TV, then I would maybe want to watch TV, because those are really like shows that I could imagine watching on the TV. I would really love for those shows to be available to many people. But because of this situation with like what media sources are in the hands of the government and the very few that are independent, because they cannot be on TV, that's why they move to YouTube, kind of.
And there's a lot of information about that, what she just mentioned, these two
parties. I wouldn't say I know much of it. I mean, it's good you saying it, because now I'm also thinking about which medias are really independent from the government.
Yeah.
So really, I can't tell. If you ask me now, is Daily News Hungary belonging to the government or not? I can't really tell.
Yeah, but that I also don't know.
I can just get news, some form of information from there. So in context, I don't really have much information about this. I think it is definitely going to be the same for other people if you ask this question. Because I see that the construct of the government here is quite a little bit complicated as for us as foreigners,
because for sometimes, us as well.
Yeah, because we can't we can't follow obviously I know the ruling parties, Orban is the prime minister, but you know, who are the guys in opposition? We can't really understand these complexities. So it also translates to, you know, which information they have, or which information these media people are reporting or are not reporting. You can't really tell. So that is on this side like a bit of disadvantage to us, I would say. And specifically, of course, if it was my home country, I could easily tell, you know, which media is independent and reports the truth as it is.
Yeah.
You know, but once you move out from your home and you're in another country, the situation just becomes very complicated.
Yeah.
And even as much as you try to understand it, you can never understand it. And also, I think I have a view that also what the thing that we can actually assess, they don't show everything to us. So
mm-hmm.
that is also something like I am noticing, taking into consideration. Sometimes when I have a conversation with friends and I'm asking what is going on in the country, they say certain things that, wow, I say that, okay, today I read the news, but I didn't hear what you just said to me.
Yeah.
So I think some of these info is also really redrawn.
Yeah.
Us, so,
yeah. And, okay, so in Hungary, the government, the current government, they use, I don't really know, like in comparison to previous governments, how it is, but right now this government uses a lot of, or they communicate a lot with people on the streets.
Yeah.
Like there's these big billboards right now. It's actually not only the government, also like the opposition, they also have these big billboards. And also the government had these national consultations, which I think we can also think of as some kind of like, like very public communication where they sent you this questionnaire via post.
Yeah.
And also like already years ago, there was this big, these big billboards with the emojis during COVID,
yeah.
I think. So,
are these messages actually so premier?
Yeah.
So it's maybe you can understand of these two or three words and you already got the point,
yeah.
what the message is.
Yeah. And I was wondering if you noticed that there is really a lot of these billboards, because for me, like as I walk around the city, there's just like always a new one, there, everywhere.
Yeah.
And so do you also feel like there is a lot, so much like coming at us, like so many of these billboards and
in a way, yes, I could agree. I think I've also taken notice of
mm-hmm.
these billboards, not also just that, but also like interestingly last year we had this kind of surveys from the government
mm-hmm.
through the post to answer some questions. So basically, yeah, you could say it's a lot. On the other side too, it's also like, you have to be somebody who pay attention to your environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And says that, okay, hey, I see something, I want to take a second look at it.
Yeah,
so that is very important. I'm sure you get somebody here and the person will say that I don't see this label. So,
for sure
you are lucky to have somebody who also really pay attention to this thing. And also the question also has to be really how they communicate the information in how the manner in which they communicate it in, and also like in which language, because I think once you're a foreigner, I see something written in Hungarian, maybe if I want to go a step further, I will try to translate and see what that billboard is saying.
Yeah.
But if I'm not just interested, I'm just
pass
by. So I see these lots of information, and aside that, you didn't say something which is people mounting just this small kind of like a small station and then just sharing some kind of flyers.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
I always see that it's always like kind of government people, they stand at vantage point and
there's also,
sure.
I think, for opposition
and
also for church. Like, a lot of times they are like, do you want to get to know Jesus? Or I don't know what's exactly
kind of,
the line that they say.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
I think they also have a lot of times these, like, ways of approaching people.
Mm.
And I thought of another one. Maybe recently it doesn't happen that much, but on YouTube, the government used to have so many commercials, these are these paid commercials or whatever, official information from the government or something like this. And you cannot click away these ads.
Yeah.
So they are really putting a lot of effort and money, actually, our money.
Make it clear.
Yeah.
Let's make it clear, yeah. into like getting to everyone or like addressing everyone. Yeah. So, yeah. So, there's really, 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 really a lot of this. I think also on TV, but yeah, we agreed that we don't watch that much TV. And did you live in other countries aside from Ghana and now Hungary?
Yes, I did live in other countries. I mean, specifically in Europe,
mm-hmm.
I stayed in Netherlands
for
a while. So that was also another experience. I could say, apart from Ghana, there were so many. I stayed in South Africa for quite a while as well. So
mm-hmm.
obviously that is in Africa and Botswana as well, and then Kenya.
So quite a few places.
Quite a few places, yes. But most of the other places I would mention, which are a lot, are more like I did a business travel, so I stayed for like a week,
or
a month. But for longer terms, these are the countries
I
stayed for probably close to a year.
And probably this was not your main focus, like how is the government communicating in that country, but can you mention, or like, do you remember, can you from the top of your head say something like in Hungary in comparison to any of these other countries, it's so much more all these platforms through which the government communicates, or did you notice that, I don't know, now just as an example, in the Netherlands, there is never political billboards, or I don't know, did you notice something like this?
Yeah, same, I
it's
agree.
More,
the, yeah, uh-huh. there is, the, no, not, not to say same, but like you're saying, there is billboards or too much information, and I think for some countries they better strategize, or they have a very good structure of how they relay information even to foreigners. So for example, if you need some information about something, there's a place you can go to, you know, have all the information that you want, and also verify that if this information is correct or not. So
and it's not so reachable in Hungary.
That's what I wanted to say.
Oh my god!
I'm just being polite.
I say
this with all honesty and politeness, that it's not really easy to really get information.
About official things, what kind of papers do I need to do this and that.
In my case, it's And I say this because for most foreigners, our only headache or problem is immigration. So if you need something about, I would say that's the most reliable place you could go. And they could actually help you with a lot of information. And mostly it's just about your, you know, immigration stuff. But aside that, when it comes to general information, there is no place that you could. I think this is one of the difference. And also, I'm saying, the billboard thing and information on social media, YouTube, you know, people standing, having stands and sharing flyers, this is not really evident in other countries, if I'll be honest about it. And then this may be the two things I could say.
Yeah.
I could say. And also, the other thing that I could really also say is actually like the translation. So in certain countries like the Netherlands, of course, they always give you a translation of.
We also both lived in the Netherlands, by
the
way.
Yeah,
so,
you know, they try to make sure that everybody understands, you know,
what they are trying to communicate
because. Obviously they understand that it's a diverse country, there are a lot of foreigners, so you know Dutch is not the only thing that they have to communicate through, so there is options for you, and it makes you feel, you know, how do you say it,
A bit more welcome.
Yeah, a bit more welcome. Absolutely. And more
that matters so much.
Yeah, a lot. That I can be honest with you. If a government says that, I can be honest with you, but I won't just say to you that you don't understand, but I'll say it in a way
exactly
you understand what is going on and how we are trying to solve our issues. So this I could say these basic three things are things that
I would like to share with you a project of mine which I made in 2008. And that was about migration, but at that time in Hungary that wasn't so big issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem, and I made the show in it was a size specific theater show, and I put it into a botanic garden. And there were involved some actors and actresses, but there were lots of civil, like non-professional people, and we made scenes and everything, but the whole show started, and I think it's such a nice idea and so fit to Hungary. Like we arrive, or the audience, they arrive into the botanic garden, and you know, in the botanic garden there are lots of plants and everything which are very fragile, and you really have to take care, so you cannot come closer. You're not allowed to touch. So lots of rules actually.
Yeah.
What you have to follow if you're in the botanic garden. And my huge idea was there was a leader who, because it was, you know, the audience, they were walking around, so there were a leader who had the task to share all the rules with the audience. And after that, they can start to walk into Botanic Garden. So I opened the show and I told to the audience, like, you're very welcome, please. And may I introduce my partner? Yeah. And he's gonna be your leader. And he was a guy, actually, somewhere from Africa. Also. And he started to share all the rules with the audience. And he was talking and explaining everything, but on his mother language. So actually he shared all the information with the Hungarian audience, but nobody had even what he was talking about. And they really had to follow this guy for 1.5 hours without knowing what's going on. And somebody always said, no, I don't know. Even I didn't understand his English. But he was really explaining everything and showing things. No clue what's going on. But actually, it's a little bit, that's how it came into my mind, what you explained. And it seems almost 20 years ago, and we're in the same.
Yeah.
I'm still in the same.
Exactly.
They're telling you everything, what you should do, what you should not, just not on your language.
On your language,
But in the Netherlands, this is not really an issue, actually.
Yeah.
And that's very special, I guess. I only lived in the Netherlands and in Hungary, so I really only have this experience in the Netherlands. And I started learning some Dutch, but you can totally live there, like a great life if you never speak that, never learn a single Dutch word. You can just absolutely live there, not only survive, but you can really have a life there. Because they do recognize that maybe not everybody is going to learn the beautiful Dutch language, and they still have rights, and they still should have access to information.
Definitely.
And and as a closing topic, I would like to ask you, like, do you sense like how do you feel the government addresses people who were not born in Hungary, or like do you feel there is a certain way that they talk about foreigners? Is there any like do you feel like in Hungary, people who are not from Hungary, if they are welcome, or if there is this like, oh, foreigners, we don't know anything about them? Do you have like a general feeling about, this this topic? Probably nothing good that you have to tell,
But I mean, it's a very, I wouldn't say very good question. Really, really thankful you are asking this question, because also really considering the recent events
about,
you know, immigration policies,
exactly.
You know, and, you know, all of us are really concerned about, you know, we being foreigners here. We are really following these stories about the new immigration rules and, you know, the policies, the laws, the new laws that are being enacted, which are getting stricter and stricter every time. So, I mean, if you look at all this, it's also, you know, really bubbles to your question whether if, as a foreigner, you are really welcome here and how the government, you know, communicates, you know, to us, especially in their rallies or in their speeches or, you know, any other gatherings whereby they, I mean, they try to talk about, you know, people leaving here from other countries. So my I would say that once I would go back to one speech that I heard from the Prime Minister, which you know, which was like at the rally, he talking about foreigners and saying that, hey, the foreigners are not here, we will not allow them to take our land, we will not allow them to take our kids, our wives, our so
our jobs.
You could see that there is this nationalistic, you know, ideology when it comes to foreigners. It's always like the government is always against, you know, people who immigrate here, not for anything, but just to survive, to also live for a better future. I mean, I always ask myself, why would you move to another country if not for, you know, a better opportunity to just better your life, you know?
Absolutely.
Nothing, not to take anything away from you, but, you know, we are all trying to have a better life. We are all trying to get good opportunities. And if I, of all the countries in the world, I didn't choose anywhere but Hungary, then I think it should be a blessing to you that, hey, this guy came to me.
Yeah.
He thinks that this place is a good place.
Sure.
So
that's a nice view,
So for me, you see, I speak of faith like this from, you know, an immigrant point of view. Because I think virtually every immigrant who comes here, it's only here to really do something, to achieve something, to work, to go to school, to do something. So if the energy from the opposite side, which is the government, is like, we don't like you, we hate you, we are giving you tighter security, immigration, you know, rules. If you have to get a permit, you have to be able to speak Hungarian fluently, you should write some exams, then of course, naturally, the idea is that it may feel like you are not welcome. And even if you want to overlook that and still say that, okay, hey, despite this, I still want to be here. I mean, it still feels like you're not welcome. That's the whole, you know, idea. So I'm just going to be totally honest on this one. It's the communication on really immigrants is really on the negative side.
Is it the same? I mean, if you're talking about the street, so what is the feeling on the street, and what is the feeling in the you work in a bank? So it's another field, and I think with different circumstances over there. So if you're not working at Tesco, for example, which is maybe not so open, I don't know. I don't want to hurt Tesco, but you know what I mean. So do you feel that on the street, this kind of negotiation, or it's not a good word, but this...
interaction, or no, like...
it's no, no.
if this information,
or,
this stance... I will be honest, like, no, from the ground, or from the people themselves, you could see that there is no... you know, hate to say that we don't like foreigners. And I'm saying this because I've had, before my experience working in a bank, I've worked in so many, how do you say it, even lower, you know, Hungarian families. So I've worked in a factory, I've worked in a kitchen,
in
Hungary. And they are very receptive to you being here. The relation is very good. And I can say that I have a lot of Hungarian friends. Like, they are on the side, they also wonder why the government, you know, has these kind of policies towards us, which is quite unfortunate. And I remember once a friend of mine told me that, like, Ben, it's true. I know they make politics with this, because on the other side, you need to sell a story to make it seem that we are really working, we are doing something, we are protecting our people, we are protecting our resources. So this is the dilemma. How do we sell the story to the people so they can still continue believing in us, which, I mean, on the ground, it's really not the same. The story is totally different.
Ah, that's good.
I'm actually happy to hear that.
And that's the point. Because, I mean, if you ask a typical, you know, just say that the Hungarian who has interaction with foreigners, they'll tell you that they are nice, they are lovely. Why do we want to suck them away? Because we learn a lot from them, actually.
Exactly.
So that is the dilemma. Wow. You know, the government on one side is playing politics. With this, you know, we are the bait, so we are in the middle and they are using us as the bait to get people, to get clicks, to get following. But on the real ground, I would say that there is no really issue with foreigners being here.
That's really good.
And I say this with all honesty, which is, I always say that coming here to study during the COVID time, I was working in a factory. Virtual Hungarians couldn't go. You know, they couldn't go. They were afraid. And the factory was filled with foreigners because they were ready to work.
Yeah.
You know, and something. And I'm saying that at the end of the day, if you suck everybody who really helped to maintain your economy, who helped you to still, you know, help you run your economy, like, what benefit does it get to you? But here we are, you know, as I still get back to it, like, it's a dilemma. So the government plays politics with it to get the clicks, to get the bait, to get the following.
Yeah.
And at the end, we are just in the middle. You just have to, you know, I don't know how to say it, but also be careful. See how you can use these rules to your advantage. Whatever they bring on board, how you can use it to your advantage. And maybe the last thing I'll say is that also I see this conversation with a lot of foreigners thinking that, is it really worth it to stay here? Because the idea is that you would want to move to a place that if you say that you're going to stay for a little while, then at the end of the day, they should accept you. So there is, in my case, I just have a work permit, which is renewable every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the rule is that I mean, at least for almost all European countries or even Ghana, like where I come from, is that if you stay there for probably 5 years, up to 5 years going, you can actually apply for a longer stay if you're paying tax regularly. Mm-hmm. So if I say that, okay, maybe let me just stay here for a little while, 5 years, maybe I can apply for a permanent residency, and maybe who knows, if I stay longer, I could even naturalize to become a Hungarian and get a Hungarian passport. But with these laws and with these, you know, policies, you ask yourself the question that, is it really worth it to stay for long?
Yeah.
So these are a few conversations I've had with friends who are also staying here. This is the conversation that keeps on going on round and round, because it's really going on the negative side, I would say.
Yeah.
So that is what I could really, because mostly we don't really receive it positively. It's always something negative.
Yeah.
You're going to make your life difficult. You're going to pay more taxes. It's always something negative, I would say. I would put it in that perspective. Yeah.
I think actually as Hungarians, we sometimes also need to ask ourselves, is it really worth it staying here? We can speak the language. Absolutely.
In my country.
Yeah.
And we are just human trying to have a better life, find happiness, to be a little bit cheesy, but I mean, that's what we all want, right?
Yeah,
to just have a peaceful and nice life. Okay, thanks a lot, Ben.
Thank you.
This was sorry, go ahead.
Thank you, Lutza and Marta. I think this conversation is very relevant.
Yeah.
So it's because it's happening, the issues are happening every day, and I just want to say thank you for inviting me here.
Thank you so much.
Just to share my one or two points.
Thank you. Thank you. This was Ben, Marta and Lutza in the framework of the Words of Europe project. Thank you for listening.